We're talking this, we're talking that.
Hey, what are we talking about?
We're talking sex, not fiction, just facts.
Oh, man.
The freaky hookups that you just had.
It's gonna be good.
This ain't the birds and bees from mom and dad.
Uh-oh, here we go.
So, Karen, don't you get home from the bar last night? And he wanted to get super kinky with me. What's up with that?
Hey, yo, Karen, I'm really trying to drive the ladies wild. Can you tell me what to do? Can you give me some skills, please?
It's Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.
Hi, this is Sex Chat with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Cat Van Kirk, clinical sexologist and marriage and family therapist, here with the man who really is my cheese to my macaroni. It's Ross Martineau.
Always cheesy here.
Oh, always cheesy. It's the right kind of cheese.
Not the first time I've been called cheesy, though.
I
love it.
In the best way possible.
Exactly.
Want us to answer your question?
Yes, you can call the Dr. Cat 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week listener line at 213-270-1968 or email us at sexchatwithdr@drcat.com. That's sexchat@drcat.com.
You got it. You can support us by supporting our sponsors. You can go to adamandeve.com right now and get 50% off almost any item, plus a free mystery gift and free shipping on your entire order when you use the code DRKAT.
We all love to get a big, big, heavy package in the mail.
We do.
Brown paper. Now, speaking of heavy lifting.
Oh, yes.
I hear that something's happening in your life these days with your husband.
Oh, he just had double hernia
Not
surgery.
One, folks, but two.
Oh. He had twins.
Oh, my God.
Poor guy.
And how did that go?
Went okay. He's 35, you know what I mean? He's had these hernias for years.
Okay.
I guess they run in families. Like, it has to do with, like, your musculature.
I had them, actually, when I was a kid. I think they think I was born with mine, but
okay,
anyway,
yeah. And I guess that's super common and stuff. And now it was, you know, supposed to be laparoscopic outpatient surgery.
Yep.
But they put you under general anesthesia. So it freaks
well,
me out.
You kind of won't want to be there.
I
wouldn't. Whatever's happening, snip, snip, click, click, click. I mean, you know, you hear the whatever.
Well, I'm trying to prepare him for his upcoming vasectomy that we're going to have in the next year.
All right. And, Kat's husband, in case you didn't know that. Here you go. Surprise.
Just a little reminder, Michael. So it was interesting because, basically what they told him is that no lifting, anything over 15 pounds for 3 weeks.
Wow.
Which is exciting considering we have a 1.5-year-old. So I'm like, oh, great. Right. Double duty for me. Yeah. And everything else.
Do not give him a bell.
Yeah, no bell. Oh, trust me. I already taunted him with it. I'm like, here's the bell. It's over here. You can't have it. And so he had to be totally off his feet and stuff for a few days. And you know, of course, my question to the doctor was, so when can he get back in the old saddle?
You know? Like,
of course. When does that start happening again?
Right.
And it's funny, the doctor was totally like, oh, well, what? Do you want 6 weeks? Do you want, like, 8? I'm like, what?
Thinks you're looking for a break?
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? That's totally
wrong way. Wrong way.
Right. I'm like, okay, number one, I refuse to believe that most women are like that. There are a few, I'm sure. There are a few women who are looking to get out of sex.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
That's said. But do not make an assumption.
Right.
Hello. I mean, granted, he doesn't know I'm a sexologist or whatever, but even so.
That's hysterical.
So I kind of chastised him a little bit and was just like, oh, no. Right. I'm talking the other direction. I'm talking like how quickly can he begin
erection.
Performing again? Yeah. And I just like to use the word performing because it's fun.
There you go.
Right. But
you wanted to see your doctor blush.
That's right. His bed tricks. But so basically they're like, well, if you do all the work, 3 to 4 days is what they said. And I thought,
thought
that was actually pretty good. Quick turnaround.
There you go.
So,
and now, is he up and about? Is he walking okay?
He's walking around, you know, just ever so slightly, still getting his little naps in, still scheduling his Percocets here and there.
Was it you who had mentioned that there's also a chance of getting, like, the swollen black ball syndrome?
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with big black balls.
That's right. We're actually pro swollen black ball on the show.
Just big black balls.
That's true.
Teabag it, baby.
That's right. Ooh, the dark kind.
Yeah.
They had said that if he didn't rest enough, that he was really, really enamored by the prospect of having, they said, literally grapefruit-sized testicles.
Wow.
Yeah. And with the blood settling, that they would potentially turn what would appear to be gangrenous, although not. So.
Wow. Could be a fetish video in there somewhere.
It could be. Oh, my God. I know. And he said that he's got so here's the thing. He's got a little bit of swelling. It's not too bad. And I have permission to talk about this, by the way. But to the point of where it just feels a little off, you know, and they're kind of sticking to his legs and getting put in weird positions, you know, unexpectedly. And
now he knows how it feels to be that guy with a big ball.
Right. You're like, see, you don't want big cojones. Yeah. You don't need that. But you said it reminded me when I was pregnant, my breasts got really big, that it's weird because suddenly you feel like the insides of your arms rub against them.
Oh,
and they're
right.
Like in weird position.
They're in the way.
Suddenly you have to position them in bras because otherwise your nipples will look askance.
Right. She's looking at me cross-eyed, Mama.
I never had to do that with a B cup. So anyway, right. So we were talking, yeah, extolling the non-virtues of, you know.
Big balls.
Of big balls. So rest up, Michael. Feel better.
Yes.
I can stop talking. But we haven't had sex yet, so I'm going to have to let you know how that goes. We're on day, what is it, day four? Five.
Gosh.
Which is a long time.
It is.
So I'll report back.
Yes, please do.
And speaking of attractive men that I love, mm-hmm. which of course is my husband who gets priority here, but I had to mention this because even though the movie doesn't look all that good, the new movie with Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman in it.
Oh, yeah. I read something about that. You sent me this link. What's it called? Change Up or something?
Change Up.
Oh, it
yes.
looks awful.
It looks totally awful.
Oh, it's so cliche. So cliche. So obviously they're doing it for a paycheck.
Yes.
But, you know, both of them, you know, easy on the eyes.
They certainly are. I have to admit, they are my two favorite male co-star.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I love them.
Quickly, right, if people don't know,
yes.
Change Up, it's the whole Freaky Friday kind of thing.
Right.
Where I guess they're both peeing in a fountain one night, which I think is... kind of hot.
A little homoerotic
exactly.
action there.
They're both
like
peeing
it.
In the trough at the at the Eagle.
Right.
Anyway, they're peeing in a lightning strikes, right? And one is over an oversex single and the other is sort of in a stale marriage.
Right.
And they switch.
Right.
Like, oh, and
let the hilarity
exactly
ensue.
Mayhem ensues. You know?
Yeah, and it's done by the same the raunchy comedy guys of The Hangover and Wedding Crashers and all that
and
stuff.
Killer cast, you know, Leslie Mann, right?
Who
John
love.
Apatow's wife or whatever.
Yeah,
really
she's
great.
In everything. She's having quite the career.
There you go.
She's like the person who nobody really knows her name, but she is in like everything.
She's like the female... Michael Caine or
yeah, right. Yeah. It's true. No, it's really interesting and I just had to mention it because I love me some Jason Bateman.
Yes.
And I love me some Ryan Reynolds and I like the idea of the two of them together. That's kind of like, you know,
right.
Like marriage made in heaven.
And typecasting, of course, because Jason
yeah.
Bateman is the sort of the stale marriage guy.
He
and
Ryan is
the free swinging single.
Which he is now again.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, so sad. Yeah. And yeah, and you saw who ScarJo's hooking up with.
I know. Oh, Sean Penn.
Yeah.
That is crazy town. It's
crazy.
Like she's got a daddy complex or whatever.
She must, because that's insane. I mean, who knows what's going on with them. And yeah, good luck to them or whatever.
Know,
but I'm like.
I mean, I love Robin.
Really?
I like
Sean
Penn.
No, me too.
But I'm also rooting for Robin because I like her too. So
she's
I hope
awesome.
She finds happiness.
I do too. So there's a little Hollywood wrap up. And then one other thing I wanted to mention, which we talk a lot about online dating
yes.
here,
yep.
is that their Match.com, which is one of the largest online dating sites,
yes, right.
they've had a few changes with their screening process.
All right. Apparently now they're going to do screening, pre-screening, and existing screening of existing clients or whatever for sex offense.
Yeah, they're going to search the National Sex Offender Registry.
Okay, which is public,
everyone.
And
yes.
everyone has availability
everyone can
to
do
that.
Yes. Absolutely.
And I guess it all came out because a California woman claims she was sexually assaulted from a date from Match.com.
Right.
And had they done the background check, then, you know, this wouldn't have happened.
Right.
Which,
so whose responsibility is it really?
Well, you
is
know,
my question.
Yeah, I exactly. So I would never, ever, ever want to blame a victim. You
no,
know,
no,
it's
no.
like, you know, I completely understand that. But it's in everyone's power to figure out what you're getting yourself into, you know, and I think it's a kind of a good idea that they're doing a background
sure.
check, but
it can't hurt, you know what I mean? Like
right.
great, but to be overly reliant
right.
on assuming that, you know, this person that you're meeting, God knows where, you know what I mean?
Right.
If you don't have your own ability to
yeah.
screen,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember I've done the online dating thing a couple of times and never met any crazy guys and felt like I screened pretty well.
Right.
Have to admit, though, I never actually checked the offender registry,
right.
you know, and I could have.
Kind of a good idea.
It is, absolutely, because
yeah.
you never know.
Right, of course.
But, you know, I just find it interesting that, yeah, okay, yeah, good, you know, Match is doing that, but I really wonder when it comes down to the courts, like where the responsibility lies ultimately, because
right.
no online dating resource can do everything for you. Right, you know what I mean?
Right.
Can never be sure.
It can, in a way, I mean, again, it's, you know, it's a sensitive issue, but it smacks of the, you know, the woman who put the scalding hot coffee between her legs in the car and, like, you know, turned the corner and now she's, you know, she won her case for $70 million because the coffee was too hot and she was stupidly put it between her legs.
And Matt's just saying it's not because of this lawsuit. They're saying, oh, well, you know, prior to now, the registry was fairly unreliable as far as who would show up for, you know, what kind of offense or what have you. But now they're saying that there have been changes and that they can make it current and applicable to their users. So they're saying it's just a natural outgrowth of the registry getting.
But what
better.
Are they going to do? Are they going to, you know, are they going to flag the users? So, you know, if I was
a
sex offender,
on there?
And well, that's what they said. They're going to. It sounds like they're going to research. But let's say I'm already on there and I was a sex offender. I mean, when someone pulls it up, is it going to flag it or?
Right.
I mean, how are they?
How are they going to handle that? Yeah. I don't even know.
And it's you know it's muddy waters too because like you know I know in some states or whatever indecent exposure you could be nude on a beach and if someone a policeman comes and gives you a ticket that can be considered a sexual offense.
And maybe that's where part of the unreliability was before. So so interesting. We'll have to kind of see what happens with it.
Right.
And just I really want to see. Yeah, how they're going to employ it, and
it's nice that they're making an awareness about
it.
And now that we, you know we are talking about it, you know I certainly encourage you know everyone
Absolutely.
To you know it's like you're dating someone, you have their name, do a little Google search. You know if they're not sex offenders, you might find out that they own a .com company,
which can't hurt.
Right.
Or they've got like you know like they've got. Child, you know, custody issues from like 8 states or I mean, you know what I mean?
Right. Or their cross-dressing video on YouTube.
Which maybe that's an attractant for you.
There you go.
Who knows? But let's get to our first question.
Okay. So Brian has a shy wife. His question. I was wondering why my wife after 14 years is still shy about sex and asking and expressing her likes and dislikes during sex.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with all of us grow up with an indoctrination, right, around sexuality.
Right.
And especially those messages that we got around sex as children.
Right. If it's dirty or taboo or if she grew up in a heavily religious household.
Absolutely.
You know, so is there an underlying problem here? It sounds like they're still having sex.
Right.
I mean, and I guess he's just saying
I don't know
that,
if it's just a curiosity on his part. Or
maybe he wants... I mean, it sounds like he's a, you know, he's certainly a giver, you know, in that he wants to find
Good job,
out,
Brian.
Yeah, find out what she wants more during sex. So,
right.
I don't know. What do you, do they practice talking dirty? Or?
Right. Well, I mean, it definitely depends on her comfort level because I'll tell you, working as a therapist, the messages about sexuality from childhood, what we got is through our family of origins, right? Mm-hmm. I work a lot with that. Around most sexuality issues. Like, I can almost go back, like, 9 out of 10 times with most people and find some message that's kind of fouling up sex for people right now. You know, and you may be 40, you may be 50 years old, but you never quite, you know, got over whatever that repression was.
Please too touched.
Right. Or just like, you know, your vagina's bad. Don't look at it.
Okay.
You know, a lot of women are totally...
Right.
Disconnected.
Don't explore down there.
Yeah, right. You don't touch yourself. So, I mean, so the main thing is that I think it's lovely that he's sensitive to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm wondering about her comfort level. But I think, you know, for him to be able to express to her, I want to make you happy and I want to do what makes you feel good. And if you're not able to verbalize it with me, at least show me, maybe through body language, like guide my hand or...
Take the doll and tell me what feels
this
good.
This is a good touch and bad touch. I'm like, maybe I should come up with one of those for these couples. That might not be a bad idea. But, you know, just using nonverbal cues with her, you know, or if there are things where...
Get her drunk. She might open up.
Sometimes a little inhibition, you know, can be gotten rid of through a drink. I wouldn't say drunk, but because we want the soft,
consensual wine and dine.
Wine and dine. That's right. Okay. But basically, just to feel her out in a sensitive way, because it's also no fun to have somebody come to you and say, you're not telling me what you want, and, you know, therefore, how am I supposed to give it to you? And just then it just reinforces for her why she wouldn't want to talk to him about it. And the best thing he could do, too, is be a good model. To her.
Which it sounds like he is, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes, you know, people learn through examples. So
exactly.
If he keeps telling her what he likes, maybe she'll follow in kind.
Exactly. Okay, Jazzy wants an intercourse orgasm. I'm a 20-year-old female, and I've been sexually active for 8 months now. And to this point, I seem to have a problem reaching an orgasm. I masturbated before I became sexually active, and I can climax when I masturbate, but I seem to have a problem orgasming during sexual intercourse. What can I do to climax? Is this normal at my age? And how can my partner help? Because he's starting to think there's something wrong with me.
Oh, bad him.
I
bad
know. There's him. Nothing wrong with I you, know. Jazzy.
Right. We've talked about this before, right? There yeah. are a lot of women who just don't have an orgasm through intercourse or
Absolutely.
Intercourse alone.
Absolutely. No. So here's the deal, Jazzy. The female anatomy for clitoral orgasms is not set up to necessarily come into contact with enough stimulation to orgasm during intercourse.
Okay, there you go.
Period. I mean, it's just how the equipment's set up. So if you're having this expectation that every time you have penetrative sex, you're supposed to be getting off, that's not a reasonable expectation to have.
Okay.
It's just not.
Okay.
So what?
I mean, does she start to just play with her clit while she's having intercourse, right?
The easiest thing to do would be do what works during masturbation. Try to replicate that as closely as possible to what you're doing during your partner sex. So if that means your hand, if that means his hand, if that means a toy.
There you go.
Focus on the clitoral stuff first. And you know, you're 20. Jazzy, mm-hmm. and you've been sexually active for 8 months, so this is
a newbie.
This is just the beginning.
Yes.
You
and
know?
Anyone who's making you feel at this point bad about sex, dump his ass, honey.
Yeah, I'm not liking that. That definitely puts up a couple red flags.
Yeah.
For me,
right.
You know. So I would definitely like to see you with someone who, and granted, maybe he needs a little education in this too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So. If you want to impart the information Ross and I are mentioning or have him listen to the show, maybe that's helpful.
Maybe block out the dump his ass part.
Well, no, that should give him impetus that, you know, hey, it's not acceptable to, like, you know, talk down or about your girlfriend.
Right. I mean, yeah. It's.
I think that's reasonable, you know? And so, and you can also, once he's come around to realize that, you know, yes, you're responsible for your orgasms and for you to kind of initiate things. However, he can definitely be helpful by having really positive, helpful communication mm-hmm. and trying different positions maybe. You can branch out from the clitoris to maybe G-spot stuff,
right.
to vaginal
from
and
behind,
anal.
Behind, standing
yeah.
up, you know, you never know because, you know, his tiny little penis that's not giving you pleasure. No, I'm kidding. But you never know. I mean, it's like suddenly it's like you might find that spot. It's like, ooh, this is what works. And
right.
you're getting it from all sides. And...
Absolutely. And so it's just going to be, I think, for you being kind of a newbie to it, 8 months in, even though you've masturbated before, which I think is great, definitely keep the masturbation going too because you're getting to know your body
mm-hmm.
through that.
Right.
But you've got a whole, you know, opportunity to really like, your body is a wonderland, you know what I mean? And for you to figure out what works for you
yep.
and to do it in a supportive environment with a good partner.
There you go.
So.
We'll be right back after a quick 30-second break from our sponsor, AdamandEve.com.
Sex Chat with Dr. Cat. It's Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.
Hey there, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com and get 50% off just about any item. That's 50% off adult toys, lubes, movies, or almost anything you desire. Plus, get a free extra gift so sensual we can't mention it here. And to top it all off, free shipping. And no, we're not teasing. Just type Dr. Cat for the offer code upon checkout. That's offer code DRKAT at AdamandEve.com.
So Nicole is on the brink of divorce. Please help, all caps. I guess I'm not like most women in the fact that I have the high sex drive in our marriage. We have been married for 12 years, and for the entire relationship, he has hardly had any desire for sex. And we can go for weeks without contact. If it were up to me, we would be having more sex more than once a day, but he is completely unable to go more than once in any 24-hour period. We recently went to a doctor for a physical, and they checked his testosterone levels, which were incredibly low. But it seems that he hasn't even cared to schedule his follow-up appointment to get the medications that are required to fix the problem. It's been over a week now since our last sexual encounter, and I'm literally going crazy. It's very frustrating to be denied all the time, and I'm constantly fighting the urge to cheat. What am I supposed to do? I can't take any more, but we have two kids together, and I would like the relationship to work. I just don't see living this way any longer. Always feeling depressed, like he doesn't want me.
Well, you know, all joking aside, which I'm good, Nicole, it, you know, to me it sounds like he's already left the marriage.
I mean, he's checked out.
I hate to start on a negative note, but for him to go to a doctor, find out what the problem is, because low testosterone is definitely
going to be equal.
But then not to even care about following up or wanting to, he's kind of left this marriage, or he's certainly left the sexual part of the marriage, which has to remain important in any relationship. So
it takes two. You know, I mean, any time that you're in a relationship. And obviously there are two people involved. If one person says, well, you know, it's my problem, it's not yours, that's bullshit.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
And the thing is, if that is what's happening, I would almost guarantee it's not just the sex that he has the attitude
towards. So, I'm wondering what else is going on in the relationship as well, that he would be this checked out. You know, there are also the issues of, you know, it's been this way from the beginning. So it doesn't sound like this is shocking to you. I mean, you guys have been together 12 years and we do get into relationships kind of, you know, knowing full well going in that things might be issues and sometimes we gloss over them thinking they might get better. And maybe that's what's happened in this case. And I don't think it's unreasonable for you, Nicole, also to examine your expectations. You know, some people, their biorhythms aren't to have sex more than once in 24 hours.
Right.
And that might be really unreasonable for your partner. Mm-hmm. So I would have you examine that too. But I think with most couples like this, there are definitely compromises and ways to work. The issue is that if he's checked out, you're not going to get to the point of a compromise.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, she's not even going to give it, you know, once a week or once a month, it sounds like, you know, never mind once a day. So, you know, that's number one. Number two, it's like, you got to sit down, I think, and talk to him and say, listen, you know, you're unhappy. You know, a relationship, you know, is many different facets, and one of them is sex. And if that's not working for him and he wants to check out, then maybe you do say, hey, I need to find a lover.
Right. You know, yeah, there's got to be some other negotiation here.
Yeah, you know, maybe it is that she just goes out and you do find a boy toy and get off that way. And, you know,
the main thing is to be upfront and honest. And sometimes there's the concept of raw honesty, of just basically saying what you feel, and not in a hurtful way, but in a way where you're honoring exactly how you feel about things, whether it's going to hurt the other person or not. Mm-hmm. And I would say he needs to buy into that too. And you very well might need, Nicole, to sit down with a therapist, because I think somebody's got to help you navigate this. And if you're talking about chucking your marriage over it, which I'm not saying is unreasonable, because there are non-negotiables for some people.
Right.
I get it. But I would definitely say I would talk to a therapist first before you make that decision.
There you go. So V, I guess there's no name, just V, likes the scent of a woman, just like, what was his name?
Al Pacino.
So he says, I'm a 43-year-old male with a passion for smelling women's body odor, mostly their musk from the armpits and vulva, but also from their rectums. I really get turned on when smelling most any kind of butt odor. I know about pheromones, but why would this taboo be so erotic and exotic to my sexual pleasure?
Interesting.
Yeah, so.
A little waft. Smelling that?
Ooh, it smells like ass.
I like it.
I don't know. You know, to each his own, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, maybe, you know, V had a babysitter when he was, you know, 14.
Exactly.
That had, like, the smelly butt, and he, like, jerked off to it. And it. You never know. You know.
Right. There's that, you know, pair of dirty underwear in the hamper that, you know, he came across.
Right.
At 10 years old. Right. So that's the concept. What we in the biz called imprinting, where early on, when you're forming your sexual arousal patterns, that you fixate, some people do on, I mean, all of us figure out like what turns us on and what doesn't during the course of that. But some people fixate on very specific things. Mm-hmm. And that's what people tend to refer to as fetishes. Now, true fetishes, when someone can't get aroused unless that fixation
happens. Okay.
So it sounds like for him, he just is very much a connoisseur of the buttoned vaginal sort of odors.
So you know what? I guess, you know, as long as you're not walking up to a woman or your partner or whatever and every time saying, you know, I really love butt odor. You know, just think of a woman as a humidor.
Right.
You know, and you open her up and you have...
It does get a little humid down there.
And the cigars are every, you know, different kinds of, you know, it's the armpit smell, the vaginal smell, the butt
Everyone's
smell.
Everyone's brand, as you were saying before.
As long as you're not being creepy about it, then, you know, I don't see the problem. And yeah, it is taboo. Not everyone likes the smell of butt, you know. I don't particularly
like
ass.
Usually at the top of my list.
Yeah,
no.
But But, you know, we had a call last week who, you know, it was the opposite. You know, it was too smelly. So
right.
There you go. To each his own.
That is right. And, you know, and it basically just comes down to you might even just have a very sensitive olfactory, you know, sort of like you're, and you might be more sensitive than some people, and so you pick up on it more. And yeah, absolutely, as long as it's consensual and you're not impeding upon anyone's boundaries,
right,
that's a good thing. But this is just your erotic template. This is just part of what makes you you around your sexuality. And as long as you're, I would say, also able to get aroused in other ways, like if this is just kind of the you know, the cherry on top, so to speak, then you know, have at it and enjoy your butt schmeg and such.
Smell away.
Smell it up.
Sniff it, Nick Oderson. You go for it.
Okay, here we go. Jeff needs an encore. Jeff says, I am dating a younger woman and her libido is sometimes insatiable. She likes to go 3, 4, 5 times or more in a row. And when I was younger, I would have easily obliged. However, now in my late 30s and having been in relationships that were essentially one and done for the night, my question is this. Are there any tips or tricks you can give a man to be able to perform multiple times in a row so I can please my lover?
Nope.
nothing comes to mind.
Hey, if I knew the tips and tricks, I'd be, you know, a freaking millionaire.
Doing it over and over and over again.
You know, it's everyone's different, you know.
They are. And the older you get, the for men, the longer the refractory period is. So that's the time after ejaculation. But I'm going to one-up you here, Ross, and I'm not a guy, but I've worked with a lot of clients with this, is that you can actually train yourself to have dry orgasms.
Okay.
So that as the thing that sends a guy into a refractory period is their ejaculation.
Okay.
So if you can train yourself to have dry orgasms, which this is how some men become multiply orgasmic, that basically you can have even more than one orgasm. But the main thing is you can continue play to the point of which you want to ejaculate and then go into a refractory period.
Okay.
And again, it comes down to there are definitely some tantric exercises you can do that'll help you train for that.
Okay.
But basically, it's the ejaculation that is just the killer for guys.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, I hate to, you know, talk about pills, but, you know, Viagra or Cialis.
It's true. You
know,
you could dabble. You could dabble there.
Try that because it stays in your system and, you know, you will still have a natural refractory period.
Sure.
But you're going to...
You could maintain.
Yeah, you'll get an erection quicker afterwards. You know,
that is true.
As long as you're turned on again.
And you could also try, you know, the cock ring, the pump, the penis pumps. Just make sure with all those things...
Strap-ons,
absolutely. That for multiple sessions that you're using enough lube so you're not going raw.
Right.
That sort of thing. But there are some tips. So see?
Yeah.
There were tips.
Okay.
We drew it out of you.
It all comes in a pill.
That's not always. There are other options, though. But it is. I mean, that is part of the answer for some people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chat with Dr. Cat. It's Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.
Gay take. Straight take. It's the featured toy of the week.
Gay take, straight take, our featured toy of the week, speaking of which, is the ultimate cock cage.
It's the cage match.
It sounds like MMA. Yeah. Oh, my God. Mixed martial arts for your penis. So what did you think about this?
It was interesting. You know, it's how do you describe it? It's rubbery, right?
Right.
And it's stretchy. It almost looks like a little chain link fence for your
dick.
It does. What it's supposed to help, actually, and it could help Jason. Is it kind of helps you maintain an erection.
Erection support.
If you get a little floppy or, you know, start to lose it a little bit.
Some guys just like the sensation, you know, of it. But yeah, it's made of a TPR kind of jelly material. So it encases your penis, gives it kind of a little more girth. So sometimes partners might like that.
Right. And it's ribbed and bubbled.
Nubby
for her pleasure. So, and you can, there's a little spot where you can put it around your balls if you want to like have it being tugged on, you know, while you're driving her to Portland.
That is right. Yeah. And so for a little extra stimulation and a harder erection, I just think it's an interesting take on just the old cock ring.
Mm-hmm.
So
and it's also kind of fun to say too. I would like the ultimate cock cage, please.
I want a cage match. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. And if you have questions, to email us at sexchat@drcat.com.
Yes, and we want to hear from you. Please let us know if you have questions. Let us know if you have answers. Any opinions on anything we're saying here? We would like to hear your feedback.
Yep, and find us on drcat.com. See ya.
Bye.
Sex Chat with Dr. Kaz.